Christ is risen. If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer. Welcome too to all those who are joining us at home on the live stream and those who are joining us on the dial-in facility. We're delighted to have everybody with us today as we come together to worship God on this fifth Sunday of Easter. Today in our service, we're going to be thinking a little bit about our spiritual lives, what it means to be united with Christ and to bear fruit for him in our daily lives. Just wanted to draw attention to some notices for the week that is to come. On Wednesday evening, our Alpha course continues online at 8 o'clock, and on Thursday evening, the parish prayer meeting is on Zoom at 7 o'clock. And our services next Sunday are the service of morning prayer at 11 o'clock and evening prayer at 7. And as the choir continue to lead us in our singing at the present time, as the restrictions are still in place, they're going to lead us in our opening hymn of worship, the hymn, Sing of the Lord's Goodness. Our service today is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit, we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our psalm appointed for today's service is a psalm that speaks of the Lord's power and his worthiness for our praise. And so we're going to say together the words of Psalm 22, verses 25 to 31, and we say the psalm together. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. I will perform my vows in the presence of those that fear you. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord shall praise him. Their hearts shall live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall bow before him. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. How can those who sleep in the earth bow down in worship? Or those who go down to the dust kneel before him? He has saved my life for himself. My descendants shall serve him. This shall be told of the Lord for generations to come. They shall come and make known his salvation to a people yet unborn, declaring that he, the Lord, has done it. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 32. Ask now about the former things, long before your time, from the day God created man on the earth. Ask from one end of the heavens to the other. Has anything so great as this ever happened? Or has anything like it ever been heard of? Has any other people heard the voice of God speaking out of fire as you have and lived? Has any God ever tried to take for himself one nation out of another nation by testings, by miraculous signs and wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, or by great and awesome deeds like all the things the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? You were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord is God. Besides him, there is no other. From heaven, he made you hear his voice to discipline you. On earth, he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words from out of the fire. Because he loved your forefathers and chose their descendants after them, he brought you out of Egypt by his presence and his great strength, to drive out before you nations greater and stronger than you, and to bring you into their land to give it to you for your inheritance as it is today. Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God, in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. Keep his decrees and commands, which I am giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time. Here ends our Old Testament reading. And now the choir are going to lead us in the singing of Father, We Adore You. Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. John in the 15th chapter, beginning to read at the first verse. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Here ends our New Testament reading. In just over a week's time, we will be coming to the annual Christian Aid Week collection. And normally in this area, people would distribute envelopes to your door and then come back and collect them. And because of the current situation, we're going to be doing our Christian Aid Week event more online or through the church this week. So at the end of the service, if people feel they would like to be part of Christian Aid Week and to support some of the projects that happen around the world, and they're invited to take an envelope, and the wardens will have those envelopes at the back of the church. And there's also the option or the possibility of making a donation online through the church website or Facebook page. But we're going to get a little sense of the kind of projects that are supported through people's donations in Christian Aid Week as we watch the following video.
Christian Aid is on a journey. It's on a journey to build a world free from poverty and need. We stand together for a world built on love, dignity, equality, and justice. Our work is focused on three pillars: poverty, power, and prophetic voice. We work with some of the poorest of the poor in some of the hardest to reach places across the world. We collaborate with nearly 500 partner organizations in more than 30 countries to deliver life-saving programs. Extreme poverty robs people of their dignity and denies them their rights. It renders them powerless, unrepresented, and vulnerable to abuse. In Latin America, we're helping cocoa farmers and honey producers to adapt to climate change and build their yields, giving them the chance to take control over their financial futures. When emergencies take place, we are there. Violence in countries like Myanmar and Nigeria has displaced hundreds of thousands of people. With our partners, we provide food, clothing, and medical care to those most affected by insurgency and political violence. When natural disasters strike in countries like Haiti and the Philippines, our partners and our local teams are among the first on the ground to provide emergency relief and support. We believe that poverty is political. We fight to help people gain that power and reclaim their dignity. Our programs in Ethiopia, in Burkina Faso, and Malawi have helped women set up their own businesses, making them financially independent and giving them a greater say in society. And in every district in Sierra Leone, we help local people claim their rights to better services, such as access to water, healthcare, and education. Christian Aid works with those who have been silenced to find their voices. We stand together with people living in despair to speak out against injustice. We create and are part of global movements of people who will speak truth to power. Global movements of people and communities who can secure the changes that are needed. And together, our voices will be heard. We are working tirelessly to make sure that development is sustainable and is not at the expense of the most vulnerable people in our communities. Our work as Christian Aid has never been more important or necessary. So join us now as we stand together to help people live life in its fullness. We believe the almighty power of people can make a world in which dignity, equality, and justice is experienced by everyone.
So as we prepare now to affirm our faith, we're going to stand together as we proclaim our faith in the God who loves us and stands with us. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our special collect prayer for today, the fifth Sunday of Easter, speaks of the Lord's risen power at work in the world. Lord of all life and power, who through the mighty resurrection of your Son overcame the old order of sin and death to make all things new in him. Grant that we, being dead to sin and alive to you in Jesus Christ, may reign with him in glory, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be praise and honor, glory and might, now and in all eternity. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now the choir are going to lead us in a hymn, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Looking for something else in my study recently, I came across an old invitation that I received from a church where I once served to some celebrations for its 200th anniversary. And the letterhead on this invitation spoke about 200 years of faith and community. And it is indeed quite a landmark to celebrate that period of continual Christian witness in a particular community, 200 years. And maybe when you look back, you might have memories of a particular church. It might be this one, it might be another one. And you might have memories from that church in a specific period of time. Maybe it had a particular relevance to you or to the community in which you lived because of a particular occasion. It might have been the death of a loved one. It might have been a marriage that took place there, maybe the birth of a child, or maybe it might have been the response to an issue affecting the local community. And you might remember what that particular church community did to respond at that time. And whenever we think about our own lives, we might remember certain points of our lives in a particular way. I know that I remember my school days as being a really happy time in my life, a time when I made great friends and I had inspiring teachers, a time when I gained a love for sports and an enthusiasm for knowledge that stays with me right to the present day. But I can look back at other times in my life when I would say that that was a very sad or a very difficult time, maybe because of something that happened that I found difficult to deal with. And then other times were, for me, real learning times with lots of new experiences and challenges. And whenever we look at our individual spiritual journey, I wonder today, as we think about that part of our lives, can we see any significant events or moments? Because there is sometimes a danger that this part of our life, that the spiritual part of our lives, can become very dull and routine. And there can be the feeling that we're not really going forward at all, but we're in a very static and dull place where we see little progress or little change. But looking back today, I give thanks in my own life for the influence of some teachers who in my late teens encouraged me to consider the Christian faith at a deeper level than I had before. When I think back to my early 20s, I think of some flatmates that I had in university who again had a huge impact on my spiritual life. They encouraged me to keep reading the Bible and to pray and to desire to learn more as they encouraged me at that time towards considering ordination. And I'm also grateful today when I look back on my own spiritual journey for certain Christian authors and speakers from different Christian denominations who had a way of relating the Christian faith to my everyday life. And maybe they challenged me to consider different spiritual disciplines or worshiping in new ways than I had experienced before. And as recently as last Lent, I was really pleased to be pointed towards an app that I can now use on my smartphone called Lectio 365. And it's an app that will give you Bible readings in the morning and prayers at night. And somebody reads these to you. And I find that it has really enriched my devotions to have these devotions read to me through my phone. And again, it's a really powerful thing when we keep discovering new things that help us in our spiritual lives. But my suspicion is that you and I and all of us who are listening into this service are here because somebody encouraged us to enter into the spiritual life at some point. And for some of us, it will have been our parents who were the people who told us about Jesus and his love for us. And they might have read us stories from the Bible or brought us to church or taught us to pray and to serve God and others. And we've never lost sight of that way of life which touches everything that we do. And there may be some of us here or who are listening in, and they came to faith at a later point in their lives. And having had very little to do with the church, maybe they had a conversation with somebody or some life-changing experience that prompted us to look at life in a completely different way than we had before. Some of us may well be here because we've always come, and maybe we've never really thought too much about it. It's just somewhere that we feel that we belong or we fit in. But there may also be some people here in the building today or people listening in at home who have big things going on in their lives. And there's a hope that somehow through whatever might happen here, we'll find some answers or some sort of guidance or direction to help us through whatever it is that we're facing. The challenge of today's gospel reading for me when I read it is found in Jesus' invitation to you and I to be fruitful. And as Jesus speaks about how important it is to bear fruit in our daily lives, it made me think about what would a fruitful life look like for me and for you. And I think there are a few things that apply across the board for all of us. And the first one is a question, and it is, if we are to bear fruit in our lives for Jesus, how united am I to Jesus? How united are you to Jesus? John uses this image of the vine and the branches. And what he seems to suggest in our Bible reading today is that unless you and I are people who are united to Jesus, spiritually speaking, we're never going to be able to bear fruit. But how do we stay united to Jesus? I think it's going to involve spending time with him intentionally every day. And often, during that time we spend with him every day, little might seem to happen. But slowly and gradually, we do see the changes that it brings about in our thinking, in our character, and in the way that we relate to people. And going deeper in that connection is about a conscious sense and maybe investing in a conscious reminding of ourselves that Jesus is the unseen guest at every meal. He's the silent listener to every conversation. And it's about constantly and simply asking him to be with me as I go into different situations, to give me wisdom in responding to the challenges that I face. And it's about listening and discerning if what I am seeking to do every day is in accordance with his word. When we think about our Old Testament reading today from the book of Deuteronomy, and we think about what it means to bear fruit or to stay
united with Christ. When we hear that Old Testament reading, it seems to be about obedience. It's about not just hearing his commands, but it's about obeying them. And it's also about remembering and recalling his mercy and his powerful acts right throughout history, and recognizing him for who he is, our Lord and Master. Not someone to trivialize with or to engage with on an occasional basis, but he's someone who seeks that close involvement in every aspect of our lives. And when I think about bearing fruit, the last thing that comes to my mind today is that bearing fruit is about a desire to impact or to influence others for him. Because whenever our own lives have found a peace and a fruitfulness, it's natural to want to share what we have discovered with others. And the hope is that they too will be inspired by God's work in their lives to the point that they want to go and share that hope with others. So maybe that's the most important question for all of us to consider and to think about as we go out from this place today. Are you bearing fruit? Am I bearing fruit? Are we growing in our spiritual lives? And if we're not, are we prepared to look at ways to do something about it? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you today for who you are and for what you have done for us. And we pray that as we open up our lives to you, you would help us to follow you wholeheartedly, to make you known to others, and to bear good fruit in our lives to bring you glory. Amen. We also want to pray today for churches around the world, and we pray for our own church, asking that church communities would be fruitful places. We pray for David, our bishop, and we pray for churches, including our own, to be places where worship connects with everyday life. We pray for churches to be places of welcome and support for all who seek to meet and encounter Jesus. We pray too that churches would be places that help all who are struggling with the various challenges that life can bring. We pray too that churches can be places that engage in a helpful way with their local community to bring help, hope, and encouragement to people's lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world, and today, as we think especially of the overwhelming situation in India because of COVID-19, we pray first of all for people who are affected by the virus. We pray for those who are ill at home or in hospital. And we pray for all who have been bereaved in recent weeks in the shock and trauma of all that's going on. We pray too for physicians and doctors and nurses doing their very best to respond. We pray for the equipment that they need and for the inner strength to give of their best when they feel exhausted and overwhelmed. We also pray today for all aid agencies, including Christian Aid, working on the ground to support communities with medical supplies and food. And we pray for wisdom and strength as they try to get aid to various isolated communities. We also want to pray today for the government of India, trying to make wise and strategic decisions to stem the spread of the virus. And we pray too for all priests and pastors trying to support their congregations and people through the very worst of times and to offer the hope of the gospel in such a challenging situation. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And today we want to pray especially for the business community as non-essential retail reopens this weekend. We pray for safety as people return to trading and shopping. And we also want to pray today for political stability in our province after a week of upheaval. We pray for all who will be elevated to leadership positions, and we ask for wisdom and for courage in their challenges. We also want to remember in our prayers all those known to us who are sick or going through difficult times at present. We pray for those living with serious illness, those who've recently been diagnosed, and those who feel anxious or afraid. Lord, we ask that you would please come alongside all who are struggling in their need to bring help and the right kind of support and peace in their struggles. And so we want to just take a quiet moment to pray for those particularly on our hearts as we come to church today. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And as we think of John's call to us to remain united with Christ, that's the theme of our next hymn, which the choir are going to sing for us now. Jesus, my Lord, my God, my all.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining with us in our service today, and thank you to those who have been with us at home. And it has been good to have your company with us as we worship together. Just to clarify, which I probably didn't do when I was talking about Christian Aid Week, those who do wish to take away envelopes are asked to return them here to the church in the next couple of weeks, and then we will be able to forward them to Christian Aid for the projects that they support around the world. And there is the option for those who might prefer to contribute online to do so, either via the church's website or Facebook page, where there is a link to the relevant page. We bow our heads for God's blessing. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Closing hymn for today's service, God is love, let heaven adore him.